I'm trying to speak with Ward.
Hey, speaking. How you doing? This.
Yes, sir. Rick Martin here.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Thanks for calling.
Well, not too bad, and thank you for responding. And you know, I just wanted to make a quick connection with you, and you know, I did send you the email. Did you get a chance to look at the NDA?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did check it out, and so everything looks good.
Okay, perfect. Now, if you feel comfortable, you know, I'd like to get into better details about what you're trying to accomplish, and I'll try and advise you on whether you need an assessment report or not, right? So could you help me pick up and, you know, explain a bit about what you're trying to do?
Sure. So let's see, what's the short elevator pitch here? So really, if like most people, so this is something about, you know, kind of writing stories, but I didn't really go in a lot of detail, of course. But most people have a pile of pictures, videos, and content on their phone, in the cloud, wherever. And a lot of it, they don't even know what to do with. You know, it's there, but, you know, you have a family function, you take some pictures. You don't post everything, but you got all this really, really good content, or you have small videos. You got all kind of stuff that, you know, especially pictures that, you know, get piled up on phone. Most people, their memory's almost gone on their phones, and they don't even know what to do with it. They just, it just piles, and they say, oh, my goodness.
That sounds like
myself. Either I got to, yeah, they say, oh, either we got to get rid of it on the, we got to put it on the cloud, or we got to download it to a computer, or whatever it is. And then once you do that, it's, you rarely even go back through it because there's so much. You know, you figure you go over a lifetime, or not even a lifetime, you go over 5 years. You have so much stuff that you're just like, it's good content. It's really good memories, but you just don't go through it because it's so much. It's just too much.
Right.
So the concept of this app is to, one of the main features is called auto tagging. So what it's does is goes through your pictures and you answer a few questions like, what's your birthday? What's your anniversary? What's special dates? When'd you go on a vacation? When's, you know, that kind of thing. What's the dates? And then the app goes through and all around those dates, and you can do a range like within a week of your birthday. And anything within that week, it's just going to tag birthday for you. Or it's going to tag vacation for you, or you, it may show you a couple images of your picture of your daughter or your mom or your dad, your brother. You answer, you know, you go through and say, hey, this is the image. And a lot of this technology is already out there, but it's not organized in such a way where I answer the questions of who's my brother, who's my wife, who's my daughter, who's my granddaughter, whatever. And it goes through all of your photos and just tags them. It's an auto tag feature. So now when you want to see pictures of your granddaughter, you just put in Emily. And every picture that you've had for the last 5 years or whatever comes up of Emily. And or vacation. You put, I know I had a picture of Uncle Charlie when we had family reunion, but I don't know when that was. And if you go through and say, okay, my family reunions are such a date or whatever, if you knew your family reunion dates, and
right.
you tag them in the auto tag feature, you put family reunion on that year, in that July 15th that year, it just goes through and tags it for you. So now when you want to go through and say, hey, that, you know, Uncle Charlie or that family reunion 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you can pull it right up because it's tagged for you. And then you can also add in, like, features, like you can just speak to it. Of course, you could do audio where you don't have to punch anything in. You could just say, April 21st, my birthday, April 21st, tag all photos on April 21st. And it goes through and tags all photos on April 21st. I'll tag all pictures of mom. And it just goes through and tags all pictures of mom. So once you have that and it goes through, then what you can do is start building stories. So now you can say, and this is where maybe some AI stuff comes in, where you say, build the story of me and mom, or And it'll go through and pick out a picture, pick out your pictures and maybe short videos. I don't know if the technology is for looking at videos for imaging, maybe. I don't know yet. But if you can tag images in a video, say, fine, all videos and pictures of mom, create this story, put this music to it, here's my favorite song, put our favorite song onto a story, and it goes through, and I want it 5 minutes long, and it just creates this whole story for you with all your pictures that you've tagged, and now you have a story that's already done for you, and you're not going back through your phone and trying to find photos and looking for stuff. And then all of that, you can connect that with your computer or wherever it is. So now you can just say, store whatever story, and it stores it. And now you have it on your computer. You can take it off your phone, and it's organized on your computer. Or you can say, hey, download all tags of birthday. And it just takes all the, and you maybe connect, you can have a program on your, you download the app to your computer, and you just connect your phone to it and just say, download all tags of birthday. And then it puts it in a folder for you, say birthdays. It's all your birthday photos are in the birth, all your birthday photos and videos are in a birthday folder on your computer. So you're not having to have 2,000 pictures and videos and stuff. So you got the concept. And there's other things in there, but that's kind of the concept, kind of tagging. And then, oh, the other feature was pre-tagging. So let's say I know I'm going to go on vacation in Christmas. I'm just going to pre-tag every photo and video I take between December 25th and the 27th. Just tag it Christmas for me. And you pre-tag it, schedule it, so every photo you take is going to be pre-tagged. So now you're done. Now, all my photos, I know where they are. I can find them. They're organized. And
Sure.
that's kind of the concept.
Okay, so Ward, what phone do you use, by the way? Is
Android.
that Apple? Okay. Android. Okay.
No, Android, yeah.
Okay. So Ward, rather than, making it sound like a rabbit hole and, I'll try and be the devil's advocate today, right? And
Okay.
I'll
Sure.
try and dissect your idea, and let the
Absolutely.
elevator pitch you come up with rebuttals, right? So, first things first. So I use an iPhone, right? And I'm an Apple user. On my iPhone, I have, if I go to the Photos app, where all the photos are stored, it says categories. That tells me, cars, babies, art, and it just does it automatically. I don't have to tell it, if it's an animal, it's going to put it in the animals without me having to tag the picture to an animal. It says places here, and let's say I went to this trip earlier last, about 2 months ago to Las Vegas. It says Las Vegas. It says another country on here that I went to, and then it has people. And what people does is, you have a picture of a person. The app, the inbuilt app of Apple, the Apple Photos is going to recognize the face. And it's going to tag all the pictures with that face. So, for example, I have my nephew baby on here, and if I open this tab, it shows me all the pictures of my nephew, right? And it does it automatically without me having to do anything. So all I'm trying to confirm, first things first, is are you familiar that Apple offers all these features? And then, are we trying to build on top of that to give more filters and sorting options that are not available at this moment?
No. So I am aware that there's, facial recognition, and it does tag pictures. I'm aware of that. I think what the concept that I'm trying to get to is where, so make it easier for people to, okay, great, I've got all this content. I've got all these photos. Everything is there. But what about the story? Like writing the story of, let's say I want to be able to take, I want to build a, I want to build a story of, with music behind it and everything, and had it do it for me as far as
Right,
building a story for me. Like, so my birthdays, like put the histories of my birthdays and say,
so by story,
man,
you mean, a group group of pictures together, playing like a slideshow with some music in the background and some transition from one picture to the other, mm-hmm. right?
Correct, correct.
Okay, so yes. Even that's something and, that Apple does, just mm-hmm. in case you don't know. But then again,
okay,
I mean,
no, I didn't know that.
So much, yeah, there's so much that could be done on top of it. But, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the basic idea is concerned, at least mm-hmm. for Apple, that's inbuilt and, you know, you don't have to do nothing. You don't even have to enable or toggle on and off. Nothing mm-hmm. that you have to do. You just take pictures. And let's say, you know, like mm-hmm. I mentioned, I went to this trip to Las Vegas. Now that I go back mm-hmm. to my photos, it even reminds me, you know, mm-hmm. a month later, it sends me a notification mm-hmm. telling me, you know, here's a short reel to, you know, celebrate mm-hmm. your last trip to Las Vegas. And as I enter it, it has, mm-hmm. you know, clubbed all the pictures together with a nice, you know, music background mm-hmm. that I can always change if I don't like the music mm-hmm. in the background. It has a few mm-hmm. options for that. It has a few transitions. I could even, you know, mm-hmm. customize the slideshow and select if I, you know, it selects a few pictures, but then it allows me to check all the pictures and, you know, kind of check mark them and de-check mark those that I don't want to include and create my own custom slideshow.
Okay. That's good. I guess I'm missing out on Apple stuff.
I mean, but it could be a great app for Android. I mean, you're probably more familiar with Android. As far as I know, Android is not so far with something like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, as far as with Apple, my daughters, my kids, they all have, you know, Apple phones. They just, oh, Dad, you got to get an iPhone. And so I guess my thing is they have all these pictures and videos, and they never use the features, I guess, because I'm sitting here like they got all this stuff and they never use it. And so maybe some of it is that they don't even know that it exists or that, you know, you can do as much as you can on there. So that was half of what was driving me was, man, they have all this stuff and they don't, you know, they have all this content and they're not using it and they're not downloading it. And then they always say, oh, my phone is full. I can't even download another app because it's so full. And they don't know what to do with all their content.
Yeah, that's something you'd hear from all the iPhone users. I mean, and then you have to purchase mm-hmm. a paid iCloud subscription and whatnot. I mean, if it's mm-hmm. about archiving pictures and, you know, mm-hmm. compressing mm-hmm. Your image library over time, mm-hmm. that would mm-hmm. work wonders especially for Apple users. And I'm just telling you this as a mm-hmm. first-hand Apple user and iPhone user. On Android, mm-hmm. I don't think you have the same pain point. I think with Android, mm-hmm. you know, the essential features you mentioned about the slideshow and, you know, doing more with just the pictures using AI, all of that could work mm-hmm. for Android users, while for iOS users, mm-hmm. Memory and, mm-hmm. you know, storage getting full is a real problem. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. one of the two for each of them would not work because, it, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you got my
point. So on that point, yeah, definitely. On that point of storage, because that's part of this as well, and I have a lot of it written down, so I did write it down. So on that, so I call it the sync feature. So what that would be basically is for iOS or for Android users is for your computer to sync, you know, you can sync on your phone and you can download your content or connect your, you know, download your content to your computer and it organize it according to however you tagged whatever you want to tag. So if you want to say download all birthday pictures, save all birthday pictures in this file labeled birthdays for Anthony, and it would go through and do all of that and free up your space on your phone while at the same time putting it in a file so you could find it and organize it for you. And then the app on the computer could do the same thing. It could create all your content, create videos, create, you know, picture slides, music, all that kind of stuff for you.
Right.
That's another part of kind of what this is about, is a lot of it's organized, but it's also writing the story. So it's kind of organizing your content, but also being having giving you the easy capability of being able to tell your story. You know, I guess what I'm kind of gathering for you is that might be a benefit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of thinking out loud together, and that's great.
Correct.
I think that's exactly how ideas come up. Why don't you, you know, there's a few things that you wouldn't be able to beat Apple or beat Android at. So, for example, with Apple, it wouldn't let you download the pictures to your computer. You could do it to the iTunes app that they have on the desktop. If you have a Mac, but they wouldn't let you transfer the files over to your computer. So why don't you do this?
Seriously?
Wait a minute.
I got to take a second. Like, I'm freaking, really? They won't let you download all of your pictures and content to your computer where you could just store it on a hard drive or something?
Nope. You cannot. So that's exactly where the Apple security comes in. And, you know, they make it sound like security, but it's, at the end of the day, Apple's much more closed than Android. And, you know, they limit you in a lot of ways on the name of security, and then they have to sell you this extra subscription for iCloud as well. And, you know, probably about, I think, I've not done my research, but about 50% of Apple users actually have an iCloud subscription, which is pretty cheap. It's about a dollar or two or something. Mm-hmm. I never go for it because I hate that idea of, you know, forced selling. But about 50% of them use it, right? And that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to purchase an extra storage, and that only happens because you cannot store your pictures and you cannot store your local files on your local computer.
I'm flabbergasted. Because I'm just like, this is your content. It's yours. You videoed it. It's your content. I can't believe that you can't, I guess, own it in a way. I guess in some of it is I've always had Android, so periodically I pull my pictures off.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it is what it is. You know, but they're the most popular, and you know, a lot of people love their security and their close-endedness and whatnot. And I think that makes them, you know, what they are today. I don't know, but you know, it's weird, but it is. So, Ward, why don't you? I mean, your idea. I mean, I think it's the right direction, but given the, you know, the technical bottlenecks around it, you wouldn't be able to beat Apple in their game, or you wouldn't be able to beat Android in their game, of course. Why don't you create a closed photo sharing application? And, you know, this is an idea. I don't know if I should bring this up or not, because, you know, this is something that I try to personally work on. And, you know, given my, you know, responsibilities with full-time work and everything, I've never been able to pursue this. But more like an application, for example, you said you go to a vacation with your daughters and with your, you know, say, their mom and, you know, a few other cousins and whatnot. And a year later, you just, you know, you have the picture sitting in there with no one, you know, really sharing them or talking about them. There's no way to recall that beautiful memory that you once had with your, you know, family. And, you know, there are photo sharing applications out there. But I think they're a lot more public in nature, and they've become, you know, more like collaborator and content creator applications, especially Instagram, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a public profile, and even if you have a private profile, you have about 700 people in there, and there's no option to share the picture with just my five close family members, for example, or just with my, you know, basketball buddies, for example, right? Because why? Because they're trying to be the opposite. They're trying to be a public space where people create content and share that with the world. And good for them. I think it's working out for them, and, you know, then comes monetization and whatnot. But one thing that they're really missing on, and I don't know if they're going to catch up sometime soon or not, but they've been around for almost a decade, and they've not ventured into this side, is more of a private, you know, photo and media sharing application. For example, you had your birthday, of your first birthday of your, you know, say your nephew, for example, I'm going by my example, last August, and you upload the picture to an application where you just have your family members in there, right? Now you control who
Yeah.
gets on the application on your side of the application. Of course, the application can be commercialized as well. So, you know, each family has
Yeah.
their own application, and they have their own list of users in there. If they want to keep their cousins, or they want to keep their family or their friends, and they can even customize who a particular album of pictures and videos goes out to. So, you know, when they upload
Oh, wow.
pictures, they
Yeah.
upload videos, they
Yeah.
can, you know, probably create an automatic slideshow with pictures as well. And then they decide who they want to share it with. So say there's a category of
Yeah.
people on their application that's family members, that's labeled family members, and they have like 7 people in there. There's a basketball
Right,
party
right.
that's about 11, 12 people in there. And they select who
Yeah.
this one should go out to. Now, when this is shared with the other people, they can even start commenting underneath it. They can start, you know, they can react to the picture.
Yeah.
There's so much that
Yeah.
can be done, and you know, talking about
Yeah, for sure.
all of what can be done, I hope I'm not, you know, killing you with this. I mean, I don't mean to.
No. You're making
Yeah.
a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You're making a lot of sense. I think some of it, you're right about, you know, it's hard to beat, you know, Apple and Android at their, you know, what they're doing. You know, some of they kind of have a little bit, but not to the degree as far as sharing to the people that you want. They have it, but not to the degree of it being as robust. Like they, you know, you can instant messenger people, and you can add the people that you want to
Right.
view the pictures and the videos that you send. But it's not as much of a storytelling thing. It's just adding pictures and videos, and that's it. It's, you know, unless you create it on your phone and then you add it or something like that. But it's not as quite as robust there.
Right. And if the idea is to create memories, then I think a better direction would be where, you know, people can, you know, join in on the conversation and join in on the media library and talk about it a year later or 2 years later, and that's still going to stay intact in that app. And you know, you want to remind everyone you went to this trip 5 years ago with them, and you could just pop a message or, you know, type a comment in there after a long time, and that's going to send them a push notification, so they all get back on the application and start talking or reminiscing, you know, the travel 5 years back once again.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. One of the other things about this that I didn't mention, but see, this is not necessarily in the app. I don't know if I could add it in the app. So I kind of want to suggest it to Facebook, but I don't think that's a really way to do that. But so, like, say you have a loved one, and you know they're on Facebook. Like, I have a loved one that was on Facebook, and you go to their site, and obviously they haven't deleted their account, you know, or you know, it's up there, and you're just like, you know, it's kind of somber because you're like, oh, you know, here's my aunt, and it's just she's gone, you know. And I was like, man, wouldn't it be wonderful if you go to her page, and instead of just stuff thrown there, you can add a story like this life story, what I'm saying. So you could take it and all the content that was uploaded with her in celebration or whatever it is, it's created into a story. So now when they have visitors that come to Facebook, they see the story, they see the video, they see the nice music, and they see a review of things when she's happy or whatever it is. And it's like a legacy, you know what I'm saying? Like a legacy video kind of thing.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, what they create is going to be automated, right? And consent is a major issue. If a person has
Yeah,
deceased, they wouldn't create the content on their behalf.
right,
What they do
that's
allow is
true.
that you can report the profile, and you can submit some proof that the person has expired or they're no longer, and that allows you to, you know, close their profile on their behalf. And that probably is the maximum you can do with someone who's no longer there. Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate this conversation because you're giving me a lot of reality to the ideas, and I'm sure you get this every day. Oh, this is a great idea.
Not really. I mean, we talk to a lot of businesses, and we talk to, you know, talking to you, I tell you a lot of boring random talk. every day trying to automate businesses and, numbers and, revenue, monetization, expenses. So I'm actually enjoying the conversation with you. I mean, it hasn't got to that point yet where we, start discussing numbers and whatnot.
Got you. That's the tough part, huh?
Uh-huh.
But okay, that makes a lot of sense. Let's say, getting back to what I was presenting to you, let's say this is, more, if I focus more on Android users who can still download their pictures or their memories or whatever, is that a viable thing? Is that, would you see that as a thing of value where Android users could have this app, it go through, pull and tag certain videos, and then save it to their computers in a file that's, has that tag in there, and it's organized for them, and all they have to do is connect the phone, start the app, and it just goes through, pulls the content, saves it for them in the file and label and birthdays and vacations and all that stuff for them. Is that viable for Android users? Is that something that you think there would be a value or could be monetized?
Well, is that viable at the first thought? I definitely think it is because I know for a fact that this is a pain point with Android users. And then, having something that can automatically label your desktop folders for you, so when you say you have birthday pictures in there, you have vacation pictures in there, whatnot, you create those, folders within the application on the phone, and when you download them, it automatically creates folders labeled with each of these names that you've kept in the phone. That is technically doable, and that is, viable in the sense that, I think Android users would definitely love this. About whether this is going to make you money or whether it is a great idea for more than just you and me, we'd have to get into technical research. We'd have to research whether there are any other applications out there. If there were and they died out, what was the reason? Was the reason the idea, or was the reason just because, just the same reason why 99% other businesses die out every day, and that's because, there was no consistency or whatever. So that, that technical detail will need to be figured in the assessment report. However, yes, for Android, I think it's a great idea, and it is definitely something that Android users could definitely benefit with.
It's definitely a pain point. I still do it, but it's not organized. I just download it just so I have it. It's kind of a thumb, it's a I do it because I'm just like, I want my content and I want to be able to save it on my, I don't want to have it in the cloud or somewhere. And if they don't like me or something, they lock me out from my stuff,
So how
So,
do you plan to monetize this, by the way? I mean, I can think of
I'm
a
sorry.
few ways, but what's in your head about monetizing the application?
I would say it. So I know sometimes I wonder how to do it. Would it be $1.99 or whatever, $5.99 to not to download this app one time and then you get all the features? Or is it you can download the app for free, but if you want to connect to your computer and have it organized, hey, it's an additional $1.99 to do that each time you do it, kind of thing.
Yeah, so
It would depend.
the latter that you said, the freemium version is more popular generally, but the only problem with the former, the first idea is that there's a high barrier to entry, and especially when it's showing the number of downloads on a on an application when you visit the app on the app stores, you would like to boast a higher number, right? And in order to do that, it's usually preferred that the app is free of cost, and then when you download it, there's some in-app purchases. So, say a couple features, a couple basic features that are free of cost, and then for let's say for something like downloading the apps on your phone, on your desktop, with everything labeled and organized and sorted for you, that could be, say $5.99 per time or per dime, right? And that's going to work just fine. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
So either ways,
That
I
would
think
probably be a long time. Sorry, go
and
ahead.
you could probably roll out a free version if you want to, and then monetize that with advertisement revenue as well. So there's no in-app purchases, there's no cost to download the application. You just have interstitial banners on some vacant spaces on the application that's automatically populated by an advertisement integration. And every time someone taps on it, whether consciously or unconsciously, that's going to make you a small amount of money per tap or per click.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, everything kind of has in ads, internal ads to offset cost or make money without having to charge people per se.
Yeah, I mean, when there's when you're not paying for a product, then you're the product, right? So if your user is not paying for the application, I don't think they would mind having a few, a couple ads in there. So even that's a good way to go about it, and it just depends upon, again, some technical assessment would tell us what we can expect out of each of the three or two or three different monetization methods. But generally speaking, a freemium version is more, preferred, unless you want to, have the app completely free and then have like a few advertisements to sustain the hosting cost and the cost to, keep the app up and running for at least the first phase before you, roll out a version that has in-app purchase features in a second phase.
So yeah, I mean that sounds pretty good. If anything, I would probably move towards that. I mean, there's plenty of Android users, there's millions of Android users. So if I had to concentrate on, Android users for that, I'm okay with that. I mean, the small slice of the pie is fine.
Yeah, and Android
And if it's
users
something that you
are
feel
both
that could be,
Sorry?
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I
Go
just
ahead.
wanted to add that Android users are about 70% of the, mobile phone users. So it is still the most popular OS operating software, and it's only 30% that you're going to be missing out on, and for good reason. I think they already have those features, so they don't need an app like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, and plus the advantage of, I don't know, I don't want to call it an advantage, but for some people that would be an advantage to say, hey, I want to be able to have my content and not pay extra. Even if I store it and I never look at it again, I want to have my content. That's kind of a personal thing for me. If this is my family and my content, I want to be able to own it and have it instead of it kind of be locked up somewhere,
Right, and if you lose
in
your
an app
phone
or
or
across.
your account is not backed up, especially for Android, because I've been an Android user for quite a brief while, that can be a bit of a pain point as well. So if you have an app that can sync to the other phones as well, you just log in with your credentials, and that brings all the, backup back on your phone. I think even that's a helpful feature. So quite a few possibilities. I think quite a few things we can work on.
Okay. That's sounding pretty good. So if I say, hey, let's explore this more, and let's, what would be the next step to say, hey, let's kind of explore this more? I guess it would be the feasibility study.
Right, so yeah, I think in your case, you would definitely require a feasibility study, and then, on top of that,
Oh, you went out. Hello?
yeah, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah, you went out. Something
Yeah,
happened.
I think I lost you for a moment. So anyway, I was saying that it really depends on, apart from the feasibility study, it depends on how you plan to finance the development of the application. Now, if you plan to woo in investors, with say like a glimpse of the application, in layman terms and what it's supposed to do, you know, like a more like a pitch deck and an idea. For that, we do have a second option as well. But you know, if you plan to self-finance this and you know keep this as your own without giving out your equity and you know especially upfront, and at least roll out the first version of the application that we call as an MVP, a minimum viable product, before you add more features to it and you know after you've tested some waters. And if you plan to self-finance the application, then I think a feasibility report would be enough for you, and that's going to give you a good idea on what you can expect to get out of this in the next 1 year, 2 years, and 5 years. However, if you plan to pursue the investors, then in that case, you know, on top of the, you know, the feasibility assessment, we do offer, you know, say a larger plan as well. It doesn't have a name to it, so you know, it includes everything that the assessment report includes. And then on top of that, you get a mood board. You get up to 5 screen designs of the application, so static designs that are, you know, kind of presented together in a slideshow. So, you know, if you present the application to someone, you want to show them what the idea is going to look like. And more importantly, you want to show your determination towards the idea and that you're not just, you know, jacking around with it. That is, you know, that slideshow along with the mood board and up to 5 screen designs is going to help you pitch the idea. And that comes at $4,500. Again, that is adjustable if you go with the full application with us and, you know, whenever you sign the full contract with us. But otherwise, it gives you a bare minimum of the, you know, the assessment report along with a mood board, a pitch deck, and, you know, a demo, as we call
The
it,
wire, yeah,
five screens.
wireframes or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, a step forward from wireframes. It's not really going to be wireframes or skeleton. It's going to be real application, you know, just like any other application you use. So if your application has to have like 30 screens in there, the first five, the major five, are going to be created, so you can at least
Oh,
start
wow.
to get into the application.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So whenever you make up your mind, I can show you a couple of demos that we've done for our clients recently, and you know that's going to help you wrap your head around it better.
All right. As a just as a some estimate or ballpark in your in what you've seen as far as how much does it cost to actually bring an app to market? What kind of investment or, you know, would you just say off the top of your head something like this? Would I expect or should I expect?
Yeah, I think it'd be, you know, quite early for me to throw any numbers there because we'd have to figure out the functionalities and the scope of work. That happens with the assessment report as well, but that happens otherwise as well. But just to, you know, off the top of my head, you know, if you just go for Android, something like this is going to cost you anywhere between $16,000 and $18,000, a one-time fee. And that's strictly based upon the discussion we've had so far. So in an Android application that allows you to sort pictures within your phone, creates automatic slideshows that you can edit, and then be able to, you know, transport them to your desktop or your laptop as an additional feature. And this wouldn't include a subscription. So, you know, either like a one-time payment for, you know, an in-app purchase or a free app without the ad revenue integration. So an advertisement integration is probably going to cost you about $3,000 on top. So anywhere less than $20,000 is going to be a good ballpark for launching this application right from scratch until deployment on the Android app store.
That's I mean that's reasonable. Another question for you is great. I've got an app. I came up with the money. We go to in production. We make this thing. It's on the App Store. Fantastic. I guess the whole other part of it is marketing, is getting people to know that it exists and all that. Is that something that you guys do as far as marketing side of things, or do you have a relationship with a marketing company that would kind of get the word out about the application?
Oh no, we do help with app marketing as well, and everything happens in-house from maintenance to marketing. all of that is
Okay.
going to be conducted in-house. So, you know, if we
Okay.
go through the first proposal together and we decide to work together on the application, then the next thing we start working on simultaneously, if you like, is going to be the app marketing, and we'll propose a plan.
Okay.
It's going to be optional. It's not going to be a part of the first contract, so you'll still have time to decide whether you want to continue with us or, you know, find a better company for marketing. But yes, as a matter of fact, we do offer app marketing as well.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Let's see. I think that's about it. I don't know if I don't think I have any other questions for you. It's given me a lot to think about, and you know, I appreciate your honesty and giving me good feedback as far as in educating me a little bit on Apple products and their capabilities there.
Well, I'm only hoping I was helpful,
that.
If nothing else. So, yeah.
No, it's very helpful. And no, this really gives me a good picture of of how I can kind of move forward, and kind of what I need up front to get things going if I want to do that. So it's not too bad. There's some people that I can talk to that see, and I can see if maybe they want to go in and, you know, go in with me on this.
I'd rather suggest you go with
the
assessment. I think you should definitely get that done before you move towards the full application and kind of committing your finances to the full app. So that's my first personal recommendation to you. And then on top of that, if you have to woo in investors and, you know, if it's outside your personal network, then, you know, you should go for
a
demo and, more like a proof of concept. So, you know, because if you venture outside your personal connections, and even within your personal connections, I mean, outside your family, people are going to ask you for the proof of concept and, you know, to show them, you know, a go-to-market strategy. And all this collateral is definitely going to help you. It has helped our clients previously. It's going to help you pitch the idea to more than just your best friends.
Yeah. right. True. Yeah, absolutely. So that would be the $495 or $4,495? What was it? That's what you're talking about. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it was $4,500, but we could do $44.95 for you. So yeah.
$5. Okay. Okay.
That's 100% adjustable as well. So if you plan to move forward, the final quotation, you tell us you would like to sign up. That gets adjusted to the cost, and that in fact is the first step towards the full project as well. So we first design the app.
Okay, cool.
We figure out the feasibility for you, of course, before we get into the development.
Okay. All right.
How do you suggest we go from here? What's your next steps? I know you have to speak to a few people, but then how soon do you want to recircle with me upon this?
I'll probably follow up with you, I don't know, maybe, I'm trying to see, in a week? 2 weeks. I should know something. I should know something within a couple weeks. If you know how, you know, I could do it, or if it's something that yay or nay, or if I have to say wait. You know, but I'll let you know something probably within a week of what I'm going to do, what the game plan is on it.
So I think let's do this just to, you know, put some action items from here. I can send you an email. I think I've already sent you our company profile. So I think we could shoot for sometime next week, probably if you're good with, say, mid of next week, say Wednesday, probably the same time. I'll leave you an email early next week anyway to just confirm. And if, if you have any kind of updates for me, or if you, you know, circulated the idea within a few more people and you got some response, we could, you know, even if you don't have a final answer, we could kind of recircle, and probably that's going to give us another excuse to, you know, kind of talk about it a bit more and kind of prepare your mind on whether you want to pursue this forward or not. And if you want to start with the
Okay.
feasibility report in the meantime, you could just, I'll leave you a text message as well. You could just, leave me a text message, and we'll get to, working on this for you.
Okay. Yeah, if anything, I may just start with the feasibility at what, 2000?
That's right.
Yeah, I may start with that, just because I think that's something that I could, do out of my pocket if I wanted to, and it, I could kind of get things rolling, and put some skin in the game. So if I do go to family, whomever, say, hey, I already put some money into this, I already, so I'm serious about it,
Right, you
But
got it.
But yeah, that sounds good. Middle of next week sounds good.
All right, fantastic. So let's shoot for next week now. And
Okay.
unless you have anything else for me, Wade, I'd let you go for the day.
All righty. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for, taking time out to chat with me about this, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Well, that is my pleasure. I'll leave you a text message and probably an email as well. We'll stay connected. All
Okay.
right.
Sounds good. Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you for your time. I'll let you go.
Yep, all righty.